could try inclusiveness. That's a nice word. So these are just generally nice things to have kicking around, especially in a loving relationship. I mean, but what's interesting is they kind of go a little bit against the kind of popular notion of love, because generally, I think often in our relationships, at least it was the case for me, I was quite possessive, and that's interesting because that doesn't really create very good conditions for allowing the other person to feel happy. Because if you don't feel freedom, then it's quite difficult to feel happy. And I think it's very easy for us to make our love a kind of prison, to make our love a cage, you know, that we want to kind of keep the other person there. We want to know that they're ours, mine, you know, not somebody else's, and that there's a lack of freedom. And I think it was really, it was very important for me and for my partner in our relationship to reflect on what it might mean to allow each other to be free, to allow each other to be free, but also not to. I'm not really talking about a kind of open relationship where you just do whatever you want. That's not the kind of freedom I'm talking about, because that can also create a lot of suffering. So this is more the sense of freedom to grow, a freedom to change, a freedom to follow our heart, to cultivate our deepest aspiration, our deepest wish for our lives, and ultimately, to know that we have a relationship, we love one person, we're committed, we develop trust, but ultimately, I think it's natural that we want to extend our love to the whole cosmos. I mean, if you allow your love to grow, sooner or later you start to see that the real love is a love that embraces everything, not just one person. And in a way, I felt like being in a relationship can be a kind of training. It's like a way to practice that wider love, that more inclusive love. And it's a very good place to practice, because it's full of challenges and keeps you on your toes. It was good for us to think of our relationship as a kind of training, going towards allowing our love to become like something that would embrace all beings ultimately. And it's still, you know, very much work in progress. But the wonderful thing is that we can use all of these elements in our meditation. So it's very nice to use these as contemplations in our meditation. And sometimes the Brahma Viharas are also referred to as the limitless minds, the unlimited minds. And there is a sense that we can touch that. We can touch this kind of limitless sense of friendship, of friendliness towards all things, not wanting to harm anything or anyone, wanting everyone to and everything to experience peace and happiness. And it's a very beautiful quality to develop, and we can do that. We can do it actively. We can sit, we can follow our breath, and we can allow ourselves to generate that feeling of just friendliness towards all beings. And we can start small, we can start with our loved ones and then widen it to maybe the people who make us suffer, and very often they're the same people, and then to our teachers, our colleagues, our friends, and just widen the circle more and more. And karuna as well, the sense that we can get in touch with our own suffering. And when we are in touch with our own suffering, compassion spontaneously arises. And when we're really present with our suffering, so not drowning in it, but when we bring the energy of mindfulness to it, compassion arises, and then we can contemplate the suffering of the people around us. Our friends, maybe people sitting next to you on the bus, on the tube. It's a very nice tube meditation. I actually used to do it in London, and it helped me a lot, because often people look so miserable on the tube. They look really, they're tired. These days, everybody's got their screen, But they're often stressed, and maybe I was stressed as well, and I just felt like, what is this environment? And it's just so kind of oppressive, and I didn't like it. But when I remembered to cultivate this awareness, I could look at somebody discreetly, just sort of to start paying attention to, the stress lines around the eyes of the guy sitting on the other side. Just pay attention and start thinking, wow, this guy's probably had a really hard day. Maybe he's just exhausted. And you just start contemplating like that. You see the difficulties that people have. You start really paying attention to the people sitting around you. And compassion arises. And it's a wonderful feeling. It's immediately healing for you and for the other people, maybe. And then we can extend it wider, like Brother Fablai was saying, to situations of suffering in the world. Just being aware of those situations, being in contact with them, and compassion comes up. And then the same thing with this quality of joy, of mudita, it can become kind of limitless, boundless. We can kind of just touch the joy of the present moment and kind of feel the joy of the cosmos unfurling and stars exploding and galaxies doing whatever galaxies do. And this is quite, there's a lot of wonderful things going on. And the same thing with upeksha, this sort of feeling of boundless love. There's no more walls, there's no more kind of divisions, there's no more separation. We just kind of feel a connection, sense of connection to all things. So, just an invitation to practice.
One sound of the bell. It's two. dear friend, thank you for listening to us go on about true love.